From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block. Touch is the provocative title of a new novel for young adults. It refers to something that's happened at the back of a school bus to the narrator, a ninth grader named Maisie.
It's weirdly hard to sort them out, the story and the truth. Even though I was physically there, the only thing I understand now, which I didn't know before, is how confusing it can be. I mean, the whole question of what's true, what's a lie, what you think, what you say, and what you start to believe.
The author of Touch is Francine Prose. She's written 18 novels. This is her third for young adults. She says she found the voice for Maisie by thinking about how she was at that age.
Independent, tough. I mean, she's a little smarter, I think, than I was, but a real spirit, a real little girl spirit. And what happens is what happens, of course, to little girls, which is she suddenly grows up. I mean, the book is as much about as it is about anything, the kind of shock of finding yourself suddenly a different person, even though you think of yourself as the same person, but how startling it is to realize that you're living in a different body than you had 6 months before.
And in her case, the physical transformation happens very quickly. It happens mm-hmm. in a year when she has gone away. Her parents mm-hmm. are divorced, and she's gone to live with her mother. It turns out to be a bad idea, and she comes back home. And she's completely different. She looks completely different.
Well, she's grown breasts in the interim, which, again, somehow, you know, you grow up and you kind of take it for granted that that's what happened to you. That's what happens. It's the natural process. But you look different. People treat you differently. And what happens to her is the shock of being treated differently by boys who were just her pals and her buddies. And suddenly, because she has this new, more womanly body and has gone through these changes, suddenly they're boys and girls instead of all just being kids together.
This all reaches a turning point on a school bus ride. And why don't mm-hmm. you talk about, as much as you feel comfortable talking about without giving too much away, why don't you talk about what happens on the bus that is the essence of this story?
Mm-hmm. Well, something happens. That's sort of the mystery of the story, which gets resolved. There's an incident involving, as I think it's called, inappropriate touching. Maisie and these boys with whom she's friends, they grope her, I suppose you could say. And because there's such an element of betrayal and personal history, and because they've been friends, as I said, just kids, and suddenly it becomes more and more fraught with rumor, with innuendo, with gossip. It goes through the school. Maisie has a stepmother who wants to make a legal case out of this. So, and I looked into, in fact, I mean, the whole issue of peer sexual harassment, which is an issue in schools, comes into play, and there's a lawsuit and so forth. So all these things are a result of kids playing around in the back of a school bus, which has suddenly taken on new meaning.
For Maisie, this becomes a case where there are many versions of what happened on the bus, including several versions that she's told herself, mm-hmm. and she's trying to sort through at some point what she really believes. How did you come to that, as thinking that this is really one of the central questions of this book for her?
I was thinking about the way in which, if you tell a story that is not exactly true, or sort of how you remember something, or has some relation to the truth, that lie or half-truth takes on a life of its own until eventually, after years or after months or after weeks, it's hard to tell the difference. I mean, it's, in a way, people have that all the time. I mean, that is, you hear some story about your childhood or you remember it and you start to tell that story, and your telling of the story eventually becomes more real than the thing that actually happened. Well, that's what happens to Maisie kind of in a more concentrated version. I mean, she tells a story of what happens. Then her stepmother kind of wants to believe something else happened. Then it turns out that the boys have said that something completely else happened, and she tells yet another version in response to her hurt and betrayal at what the boys have said.
Throughout this story, Maisie is, she's tough. She's also really vulnerable. She's funny in a lot of places. She's got a wry sense of humor. Would you find yourself, as you write, having her say things that you would then realize that, you know, a 13-year-old just wouldn't say that. That wouldn't be part of her vocabulary. She wouldn't phrase things the way I might have if this were an adult character.
That's something that people say and that I hear. But my own experience of having kids and being around kids is that I was always being shocked. I mean, sometimes your 13-year-old would sound like a 3-year-old, and sometimes your 13-year-old would sound like a 43-year-old. And I was never sure what was going to come out of their mouths because it never sounded to me exactly like, oh, that's how a 13-year-old sounds. There's such a range.
And she, Maisie, seems sort of world-weary in her own way. She talks about her stepmother, and there's just no love lost there. Her stepmother, Joan, and she says, Joan is constantly auditioning for a TV series being filmed inside her own head. She calls it the Joan Channel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 13-year-olds are smart. That's certainly what I remember, and that's what I've been observing. It's just how quick and observant they are. And again, for me, it was the interest in writing this story and writing about that age. That is, you reach an age, especially if you're a girl, at which your intelligence is no longer valued as much as your body, you know, your physical attributes. But that's kind of what happens.
You know, there was something that disturbed me by the end of this book, which is that it seems to me that at the end, Maisie has lost something irrevocably. She's lost her best friends. She's learned what it means to grow up. She's learned something about the truth. But to me, she ends up losing a lot of things along with that. Is that how you see
that's
this transition?
That's how I see it. That's
you do.
That is how I see it. And that's, in a way, again, how I remember it. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, you know, I was good at sports and I could jump off the high board and I was kind of, because I was the oldest, kind of the boss of my block in a certain way. And then puberty hit and suddenly I was like looking to boys for direction. And I remember that as a great loss. I still have to work my way back to where I was at 13. So I remember that as having happened.
Did you struggle with that? Did you think about, you know, do I need to have something more affirmative here to give Maisie a more positive future as this book ends?
Well, she will have one. She will have one. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't project that far in the future. I mean, my own experience, again, is you do get over it. But again, I wanted to be true to the characters and true to the experience. And I think that when you're that age, I think you're confronted with what you've lost before you can realize what you've gained.
That's a painful thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As the mother of a young daughter.
Well, sure. I have a granddaughter now, so I'm about to go through it all over again with her. So, well, you know, she has a while yet, but I can see it coming in the future.
Francine Prose, thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
Francine Prose is the author of Touch. You can read an excerpt at npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.